Taxation is theft.
Please, at least leave us alone in our living room.
My job is to find the truth.
Double the taxes.
I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value.
Triple the taxes.
This is an IRS agent's dream.
If you think that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself.
Beautiful, lovely taxes.
Sorry, but I don't do taxes.
Did you see the memo about this?
The government is a greedy piglet.
Just leave us alone.
Do you know what Ralph just said?
The roads.
You boys like Mexico?
I'm as bad as hell, and I'm not gonna take this anymore.
Welcome back. Taxation is theft, of course. And I have with me today Trisha Butler. Welcome. How's it going?
It's good.
Awesome. So I hear you decided to take the plunge and run for office as a libertarian.
Ooh, ain't that the truth? It is a plunge.
Yeah. So what made you decide to do that?
Oh, you know, there's so many facets of it at this point, because at first I just kind of wanted to do it because it's something that I have an interest in. And, you know, politics and arguing, honestly, are fun to me. But once I started getting a little more into it, my personal reason as a constituent was, you know, I'm looking up on our commissions and our boards and things like that. And, you know, it was kind of like not seeing myself up there, which is, you know, like a housewife, and I'm an Army vet, which we do have some vets that serve. But, you know, then once I started doing it, I started finding that there are even more important things, you know, and that gets into the dirty parts of corruption and personal interest and things like that.
Right. Yeah. So, it's always interesting to see libertarians running for office. I know I get this one a lot. If you hate the government so much, why are you trying to be a part of it? Do you get that? What's your response? Or
so that's a pretty easy one for me. And here, I'll tell you right off the bat, if I was on Facebook, someone would have just told me I'm not libertarian. Okay.
All right.
I'm not like a hate the government. I don't lean toward ANCAP. I'm a minarchist. And I think even aside from that, of the fact that, I mean, I'd love to dismantle the establishment entirely, but I'm pragmatic, not in the caucus, in the term, in that, you know, there's already a system set up and we have one of two options: either get out the pitchforks or, you know, get in there and start making changes and affecting change within what we already have.
Right. Yeah, it is really an interesting situation that we're in, because that system is there. And, you know, we have to deal with the fact that there are, you know, whatever, 300 million Americans maybe who love that system is there. And, you know, to get rid of it overnight, they'd come out with the pitchforks. So, that's an interesting way to look at it. So you chose to run for city council. What's, do you have any specific policies or issues, that you're looking to push, or are you just trying to block some corruption and spending bills, or, you know, how do you look at this?
So, first of all, the reason that I started in city council, that's a question I get a lot, is why did I choose that one? I'm military. So to me, it made sense to start at the bottom and work your way up. I don't want to jump into, say, running for president, because I wouldn't even know. So that is why I started at what I considered at the time to be the lowest level that I could try to get in at. I have spent the last, and I started really early, and I did that because I didn't want to be someone, I didn't want people to say, hey, trust me to run the show, but have no idea what was going on. So part of the reason also that I did that was so that I could start getting a feel for what the people that I'll be representing think is going wrong, you know, because I have my own, what I think, obviously, you know, I less taxes and all that good stuff.
Yeah, like
but,
that.
No way. One of the things that after I started asking around and knocking doors and talking to people is, and I don't have anything bad to say about my current councilman, but what people are saying and what I have experienced also is that there's very little interaction from a lot of them. And I'm not going to say all of them, because we do have some local elected officials that are really good about getting out into the community. But, you know, a lot of times people just have a hard time getting a face-to-face or getting them to answer calls, or even once they get a hold of them, getting an answer out of them. So I don't know if it's the mom in me or what, but a lot of what I'm doing is to, you know, give the people a voice and be interactive and, you know, just really take what their issues and concerns are and address them.
Right. Yeah, I think that's a really interesting point too, because I, you know, I ran for my first my first election was for Texas House in 2014, and yeah, it was like going in and what I thought. I mean, I had my own ideas of what I thought was wrong, but it's like you do talk to people and you start seeing that there's other perspectives and other issues and everything else, and it's. I think that's something I would actually recommend for all libertarians to do that, you know, whether you're running or not, just to get that kind of bigger perspective about the world that we live in and the problems that we have with government. Because it's not like I know we kind of get to this point where we're just kind of like, oh, it's an easy problem. We know how to fix it. Get rid of taxes, get rid of government and the Fed, and everything's going to be fine. And it's not exactly that simple.
It's kind of like what you said in the beginning there is, you know, the people would freak out. So in my ward in particular, I'm like, to me, taxes are important. I don't want them to be so high. So I'm assuming like that's one of their big things. And then I go knocking doors and man, I cannot sidewalks, which by the way, cost money. So, you know, from a libertarian philosophy, I now need to find a way to find them sidewalks without taking some more money, you know? And I think that's kind of where my focus is heading into the next year, is finding out of the box, good ideas on how to fix these problems. Things like, so I kid sidewalks, man, I kid you not. I joke about it all the
time. They're like roads for feet.
What my sidewalks?
Yeah, no, that's an interesting one I haven't heard. I mean, like, are we talking sidewalks? Well, what kind of areas are we talking about? Like something that's like a suburb community where like you would expect the HOA would take care of that, or like big city, big building kind of thing?
Both. So some of the subdivision that, you know, it only started so long ago that they started making sure they put sidewalks in subdivisions. So some subdivisions don't have sidewalks, and as much as I care, because I do. My focus is on the places that people are dying. So, two of our main drags, one's called Wilma Rudolph and one's called, Fort Campbell Boulevard. People are walking up and down these all the time, and they're major like highways, you know, and, that's the way people get to their jobs. And that's the way that, you know, they get to shopping and things like that. And they're just walking in the grass. And we do have people on these two roads, particularly the Fort Campbell Boulevard one. I mean, they're dying. So it's like an actual safety thing, which is kind of the way that I'm trying to attack that. But we're just not a very walkable or bikeable city. And we consider ourselves family friendly. So a lot of people have said that to me. I knock on a door and they're like, we're so family friendly, but I can't even take my kids up the street, you know? So.
Right. Yeah, no, that's an interesting problem. And it's, you know, sidewalks usually go hand in hand with streets because they're right next to the streets. But it's interesting because, you know, what's a good libertarian solution to that when, like, if there were no roads, then it would be like, okay, yeah, let private companies build those roads and, you know, and that would be fine. But if they're already there, and they're already paid for by the government, there's no incentive for anybody to build those roads or to put sidewalks next to them. So,
and yeah, both of those are state roads, by the way. That's the even more fun part. So
nice. So make them pay for it. That's interesting. Yeah. All right. Well,
I blew your mind with that sidewalk thing.
Yeah, no, I'm going to be, I guarantee you, I'm going to be thinking about this for like the next month. Just like, man, okay, how do you do the, like, what do we need? Toll sidewalks? yeah, no, it's an interesting problem. And it's, I'm sure like knowing the layout of the area would always help. Cause it's, you know, if you have malls or, you know, shopping centers or things like that, it would help them to have more traffic, right? To have more foot traffic. So maybe you could find some incentive for them, maybe give them a tax break by letting them build the sidewalks or something like that. But yeah, it's, and, but of course it's like, but in the libertarian paradise, they wouldn't be paying any taxes for you to give them a tax cut. So now what? It's yeah, no, it's an interesting problem.
This is kind of how I look at it. I'm thinking more, and I'm going to get fried for this. I know it. So they've already taken the taxes. They're going to continue taking the taxes. Now I will do everything in my power to, you know, vote any increases down and any, I would anything. But my idea there is like reappropriation almost, because if we're taking people's money and we're doing all kinds of stuff with it that they don't much care about, then why not appropriate some of that money they've already taken anyway and give them something that they want, you know? But then it's, does everybody want the sidewalks? It is so right. Sticky. And I'm telling you, I brainstorm on this all the time. So
yeah, you get back advice. Into the same argument. Like, well, we don't want to spend it on sidewalks. We want to spend it on bombs. And yeah, so it's, you're never going to make anybody happy. And that's kind of the whole problem with taxes in the first place, is that you can't make everybody happy. And yep. That's why we should all be in control of the money ourselves and figure out some way to build, you know, infrastructure.
We'll get there. We'll get there. I know.
Yeah. Someday. We still need some advances in science to figure that one out. Man. Yeah. That's like, I thought roads were like the biggest problem ever. Now it's sidewalks.
So, and they're really expensive. Concrete is like so expensive.
Okay, so well, that might be an interesting place to start. Why is the concrete so expensive? Is it really, or are you getting overcharged by? Yeah, because that's actually, you know, one of the things that they do with roads is like, you know, you hire these contractors that basically they get like the whatever, when it's a state contract, they get like all these special privileges and they get to charge more and all these other things. As like from everything I've ever heard, whenever you have like a contractor that's like, you know, they could build a building for a private company, but as soon as the government calls them up, they're like, ooh, drop everything, go do this, because we know we're going to charge them five times as much and just make a killing. So
I did logistics in the Army. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I know how much stuff costs, and oh my goodness. Like, cause things do not cost the same amount when you buy them for the Army that they cost if I go to Walmart. Like,
yeah. Yeah. It's insane.
It really is.
So, all right. So, what else can you tell me about the city council? You said there's not a whole lot of, it sounded like you said there wasn't a whole lot of corruption, but there's some funny stuff going on there.
You know, I'm in Tennessee. So, see, this is another one of those, I'm going to get fried things, but the honest to God's truth, cause I can't help myself, but you know, there is a world of old boys here. It is what it is. And I'm not saying that everybody that serves as an elected official is, you know, lining their pockets or whatnot, but, you do see the same people stepping up. That in the same, you know what, let me stop soft footing around this. If you look at my city council, and my focus was, I don't see any housewives, you know, sitting up there. And I figure there's a lot of us here. But if you look around the city council, you know, it goes pastor, realtor, pastor, CNA, you know what I mean? It's like all... Right. And I understand, and I have a lot of realtor friends, which is why I'm so like, I don't want to do that and hurt anybody's feelings. But I don't know. I'd just like to see there be a bigger mix. And honestly, what I'd really like to see is people look at me and go, hey, look, normal girl who was at home watching the kids, and now she's sitting on city council, and them see that and say, hey, I can get involved too, you know, right. Because the people that have an interest in what's going on in the community are the ones that are getting into these positions, you know, just because they know about it. I don't think everyone realizes like they could run too, you know?
Yeah, no, that's a really interesting point. And even like, I mean, it was a big jump for, you know, excuse me, for me just to like I used to see like, you know, city council meetings on TV or whatever, they live stream them now. And I used to think like, oh, that's crazy. I can never even go to one of those meetings because it just seems like so distant. But when you realize that's like, that really is like, that's like the minimum amount you can do to really get involved with what's going on around you. I mean, like everything from parking meters to tow-away zones and everything like that. And like all these things that everyone's always bitching and moaning about, like you actually have a place to go. And yeah, you're not going to go there and they're not going to get rid of all these tow-away zones overnight just because you went and said they suck. But this is a place for you to bring that feedback and for you to start putting pressure. And when you speak up and other people start, you know, because usually you're not alone. That's this other fear that we have is just like, oh, I'm probably the only person who thinks this. And I would never say that in front of that audience because people are going to boo me or whatever. No, you go in there and you say something and yeah, maybe it sounds weird. And maybe the people on the board are looking at you funny because they don't want to hear it, but you never know. You might have a whole crowd of people behind you that have been thinking the same thing and no one just had the courage to say it. And now all of a sudden you have this movement of people who are like, okay, well, this is our city. Those people work for us. Let's put some pressure on them and let's make some change happen here.
Yep, they're not untouchable at all.
It's really interesting. And that's something they don't teach us in school, I guess. Like we have to get involved at some level, even if it's, you know, whatever the smallest thing is you can start with.
You know, what blows my mind. If I go right now and ask some people about the impeachment, like they can tell me an amount about it or what's going on, or they at the very least have an opinion on the impeachment, right? And I'm not gonna lie to you, I have hyper focused locally to the point where I don't honestly know what's going on with today they're doing the vote, and, you know, but I really don't know, and I don't intend on studying into that. I have other things going on. What blows my mind is all of this in this fighting right now with the left and the right, and everything is federally focused. Mm-hmm. And like, I get it. That's important too. But what people don't get is that the things that the city council is voting on Thursday nights, the things that the county commission is voting on Monday nights, and the things that are going on state level, that stuff affects us every single, like that's the stuff that actually affects us every day. And it's like, we had a special election in April, I believe it was. And we had a 6% for the special election was six. I think it was 6% voter turnout. And I'm like, those guys, that guy is actually making laws that are going to come down the pipeline very soon, right here where you're at. And you don't, they just, no one pays attention.
Right.
And it's like, but dang it. Like I've already taken into consideration what the voter turnout's going to be like this year during my race, because it's a presidential election year. And it just never ceases to blow my mind that people are, you know, it's the theatrics of it and way up high, but when it's local, it's like,
yeah,
you know,
who cares? I might not be living in this city in a couple months. It could be like, am I in the city bounds? Is that my district? Like, you know, yeah, it really is amazing. But it's also like what people don't recognize is that there are so many things. And like, I get it also, right? There's the war on drugs, which is a federal thing. Like that's something that affects everyone. And it's and then there's abortion, which is always like, oh, there something has to happen at the federal level. Why? Because my opinion should be forced on 320 million other people. Forget about Canada and Mexico, because there's an imaginary line there, but the imaginary lines between states don't really matter. It's all these like weird thoughts that we have in our head to create this thing. And yeah, that's what it ends up with, is everybody's like, you know, well, if I believe guns should be banned, I think they should be banned at the highest possible level, because, you know, just not the city. That doesn't make any sense. Why would we ban them in just the city? And so people just totally lose sight of the fact that, you know, you're getting robbed every single day by all kinds of taxes, business licenses, and everything else. And a lot of those are municipal codes from your city or your county or your state. Everything from gas tax to property tax and everything else. Like, a lot of this stuff is local, local, local. And who you vote for, or if you don't vote, like, you're gonna get more corruption in your city, which is gonna hit you harder than you know, some congressman or some president, whichever one we swap him out with. So yeah,
and then those guys are gonna move on too, up that way. So these same people that aren't used to accountability, because no one's paying attention on a local level, I mean, they're gonna continue to work their way up the food chain, you know. And it's that serious what you're talking about. Even when we have people running locally, it's like, well, what do you believe about abortion? Well, I believe that I'm not going to touch that at city level.
Right.
Or they'll say, well, are you for the wall? And I'm like, the wall between us and Alabama, or, you know, like, are we really talking about on a state level, state legislature? You really want to know? They're not going to do anything about the wall on the border, you know?
Right.
So it's,
yeah, and it pisses me off to hear that, because, like, at the same time, it's like, this is people forming in their head opinions about you based on the us versus them. Are you with me on this wall thing? Are you part of the Trump clan, or like, whatever? Like, they're creating that division in their head by even asking these questions. And it's like, that's not what this is about at all. You know, this isn't about, I mean, that's really, you know, what gang are you in? The Crips or the Bloods?
it's red and blue.
Exactly. And it's like, you know, like, what does that matter? Like, you could be a Democrat, Republican, independent. It doesn't matter if your position has nothing to do with the wall. I don't care about the wall either way. Well, yeah, but I need to know. What about abortion? I just need to know where you stand. I can't do anything about abortion. Okay, but where do you stand? It's insane. But that's part of the conditioning and the mind control that they've got us into, to believe that it's like we have to be fighting each other, instead of understanding that, you know, no, most of us are all on the same team. And yeah, we have different opinions about things, but we shouldn't be so emotionally invested in those. And instead, we should be more emotionally invested in the fact that the government should not be as big as it is and doing all these things to us that most people completely disagree with.
And if you get out there and you start talking to people, because my race is nonpartisan. When anyone asks me my affiliation, I tell them I'm running as an independent. When my name goes on the ballot, it'll have an I after it. That's how it works here. And you know, and I do go between, I call myself all partisan. I go between everybody, you know, and there's always something we can talk about, you know. And it's like, well, I don't agree with this. Well, then let's not talk about that. Let's talk about something that we can affect a change with, you know, which isn't to say, I mean, we could get all that stuff fixed and the rest of it's still going to be there for us to argue about later, you know.
Right.
But as far as the stuff that we see eye to eye on and we can make positive changes in, like, let's do it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, yeah, just get our differences out of the way and fix the big problems that are just sitting right in front of us that are like, you know, we could obviously fix this right here if we could stop arguing. Yeah, that's an interesting one. And that's always, it's always the big distraction. And the way I see that is, like, you know, you've got these two, I call them billion-dollar brands, which is basically what they are, the Democrats and the Republicans, and they're pouring in billions of dollars every year to advertise to us that these are the issues that we should be talking about. And that's how you get so many millions of Americans talking about things like the wall or abortion or, you know, whatever else. And it's like, how do we, and because the Libertarian Party is not spending all that money to say, you know, hey, let's talk about the government's too big, you know, and it would cost them, you know, billions of dollars to get that into the conversation, especially when they don't control the media like some of these other guys do. So, you know, what is it going to take to get a big enough movement of people to start talking about some of those issues that are more important, more relevant? And, you know, how do you break through to that when you've got just billions of dollars of advertising going into these other issues that keep us fighting and divided?
Yep. And that's the billion-dollar question, isn't it?
Right. Yeah, it is. 'Cause you can only knock on so many doors, right?
Yep.
But no, I think that's awesome because that, you know, that you're running for a local position, because that is one of the positions where you can more realistically knock on a larger percentage of voters' doors than, you know, even U.S. Congress or something like that. Like there's no way I'm going to knock on 320 million doors and talk to people. But you could,
lazy.
Yeah.
I did 30 doors in one day and I thought I was going to die. Okay. Yeah. 30 doors.
No, it is. And you know, there's a lot of theories on, you know, what's the best way to do it. Right. Like I've heard people say, no, just get a few thousand door hangers and just don't even stop to knock, just hang one on every single door. But it's like, even if you do that first, like you're not going to connect with people the way that you would if you did knock. But you also have to deal with the fact, okay, but if you knock on every door, you're going to stand there waiting for a minute. And what if nobody's home? You just wasted a minute. And then, you know, eventually you come across people who are, they're out watering their grass or, you know, doing whatever, and you have a conversation with them. And
that's me. See, no, I'm the guy. If someone answers, I'm probably going to be there for 10 minutes. That's something we're working on. My team's working on that.
But I mean, that's a great thing. I mean, I've heard people say that, hey, I'm going to, when I was doing door knocking, I'm going to vote for you just because you're going door to door. People were really impressed by that. And if all you're doing is leaving a door hanger, well, they're probably going to think like one of your interns did it or something. Right. So, because that's what they know about, you know, the big guys and how they would do it. So it is really interesting, but, I don't know. I guess, sometimes I think I'm stupid for getting involved in this. But at the same time, it's like, no, because we have to, because nobody else is. And I mean, not nobody else, obviously. There are others. But it's, you know, if not me, who? And if not now, then when?
When?
Yeah.
I do think I am a big firm believer in grow your own candidates that, you know, and okay. I say this full well knowing I'm a candidate, but okay, I did not come up with this suddenly because I'm a candidate. I chose to be a candidate because I believe this. We should be starting our candidates off municipally like this, winning races that we can win, you know, ones where they're not talking about the guy with the hat and, you know, the guy with the boot. And we can really just talk to people and get face to face, because once you're face to face with us, we're not that bad, right? And then in 10 years, we will have, you know, our candidates that, first of all, we hold them accountable. We hold their feet to the fire. We see what they're made of. We see what their principles are, you know, and 5 years from now, I and whoever else is running, we can run for a state seat and, you know, and then you can just like the D's and the R's did, you follow them up through, but you know, you hold them accountable and you make sure that they're principled. And then, you know, 10, 15, 20 years from now, you have a wicked good principled candidate for president that you know what I mean? So that's my big thing, is the grow your own. And I do think that we should be starting, I understand that we have to run candidates to keep up ballot access and visibility and all that. I get that. But I do really think that the Libertarian Party should be focusing on local municipal races and building up from that with grassroots.
Right. And I mean, I think we did an amazing job in the last election. We got like, what, there's like 70 or 80 elected libertarians now, or new ones.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was amazing. And a lot of those were small local positions, which is great because, you know, in all of those cities, you're going to have people now that are like, well, we have an elected libertarian and things didn't all fall apart and the roads didn't disappear.
They're not crazy. Yes. We have five. Tennessee has five.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. I mean, you're going to have hopefully, you know, they're going to do a good job. And like when there's a conversation about how much money is being spent, you're going to see, you know, all these people talking about, yeah, we need this big program. We need to spend $100 billion. And you're going to have one person in that room saying, no, this is the people's money and we should not be spending it like this.
I see it.
And people are going to be like, oh, wow, who's that guy? Oh, he's a libertarian. Interesting.
No, I legitimately see this happening right now. My mentor, actually, he's that guy. That nice. We had our county level, they're putting in it depends on what day of the week it is, how much it costs, $130 million event center downtown. And, you know, he rallied real hard about that and we petitioned and, you know, all that good stuff. But like we see it happening, you know, and he actually got voted the people's favorite elected official in county. So, I mean, libertarians do well.
Nice. Yeah, that's really all it takes. And getting our foot in the door is the way there. So that's really awesome to see. And yeah, you're absolutely right. Hopefully we'll see more of this. We'll see more as more, we're getting more local people elected across the country. And then they can move on up to state house or US house and that sort of thing. That would really be awesome. Have you had any, like, I don't know, major challenges with your campaign? Any? What's that mean?
Okay, so I get made fun of a lot because I started so early. But like I already explained, I wanted to know what I was doing. I knew that right. As a third party person, it was going to be difficult for me with fundraising. And you know, I'm like anybody else. I don't like fundraising. It's terrible. So I suffered a lot of flack from that and everybody telling me, you know, you took all your steam away because you announced so early. I mean, I already put out my, my newspaper announcement and everything. However, around what, November of this year, when campaign season started to like really kick off and things started forward momentum. I've pretty much taken off December to spend it with my family because I know that, you know, all of next year I'm just going to be pedal to the metal. But things started getting, I'm so naive, man. Like stuff started getting so dirty. Like people just started talking so much crap. And a lot of things did start coming out about me being that libertarian girl, you know? And it blows my mind that the nastiness that people will start at even a local level, just like trying to smear your reputation and try. I had no idea what I was getting, like no idea.
Were these like some of your competitors or?
No, my one opponent that has also declared we sat down early on and said, look, we're not going to be dirt bags about this. Just, you know, other people, there's the political universe in, a town like this, it's not very big, but, it's like, it's high school. I can't even explain it any other way than that. Like it's high school. Like suddenly people were like, oh, well, listen to what she did. Oh, she's with the libertarians. It's just, wow. I just could not believe it. And, you know, people starting to whisper in ears to get just to build animosity and stuff. I just had no idea that's what it was going to be like, you know?
Wow, that's interesting. Is any of this making the papers or is it just kind of like gossip or?
Oh no, this is all like the back room, you know, that kind of stuff. Everybody, we're all like this out in public, you know. So,
right.
But it scared me for what is to come. Like, I try to be above reproach so that things like that can happen. But then I've come to find out people are going to say stuff about you, even if it's like totally right out of their ass. So,
right. Yeah. No,
I just have to stay focused and keep knocking doors, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I've definitely seen some of that going around social media. It's weird. Like, a lot of people have this weird picture of what a libertarian is, and they come up with all kinds of stereotypes and everything else. And oh, you're a libertarian, so you're one of, and then they'll just throw something out there, and it's like, no, where the hell did you get that from?
In our local pages, someone will vocalize an opinion against somebody. They'll be like, oh, I don't like what they did because such and such, one of our elected officials. And then always from left field, someone's like, oh, are you one of those libertarians? What? Just because we only just don't like people. That's all we do. Like,
nice. Yeah, that's the, that's kind of the Republicans' job, isn't it? I'm trying to think, is that more Republican or Democrat? Yeah, no, it's definitely weird. So what kind of strategy do you have? Have you put much thought into that, or are you just kind of winging it right now? Or, do you know, like, you know, are you working on, press, or are you planning on doing, signs or anything like that? Or, you know,
I actually wrote my campaign plan, this summer, and it needs to be, I'm totally extra. Okay. No one will ever tell you otherwise. And if they did, they're a liar. So I'm super extra. I have gone to, you know, a couple campaign training. I went to Yale in Memphis and got their campaign training. And after that is when I wrote my campaign plan, and it needs to be expounded on now. I do have a team. Like I said, we were doing some stuff. It was mostly learning, information gathering. And, you know, the plan is in January to kind of start really getting some events and stuff. And then obviously once it starts getting warmer and around qualification in March, April, May, spring timeframe, you know, we're really going to hit the ground hard. So, and that's always been the idea transition is, you know, that I would start out learning and then after the holidays and announce before the holidays and then after the holidays, you know, start with the team. So I do have a campaign manager. He's awesome. There is a smaller town. Okay. So I live Clarksville, where I live is right outside of Fort Campbell Army Installation. And it's right on the Tennessee-Kentucky border. So the smaller town on the other side of the border that's outside of the Army installation is called Oak Grove. And my campaign manager got the mayor of Oak Grove elected. So I have a lot of faith in him. He is awesome. He is my hype guy. The days when I'm like, you know what, I just don't want to do this anymore. He's like, don't you dare. You're going to win. Hashtag win, Trisha, win. So we are starting to get together a team. I've had lots of people tell me that they want to volunteer. And my sister just moved back from Arizona. She was my campaign manager. So now we got to find her a new spot. So now we're starting to get the team together and really start seeing where the moving pieces. We know what we want to accomplish, but now we need to make the way to do that.
Right. Awesome. Well, that sounds like a great, you've got a great team and everything together. So, so we'll have to keep an eye on this and see what happens. I know we're just, getting into the beginning of 2020. So it's still a while out, but yeah, I mean, that's really great because you can use the time both for learning, but also just for, you know, growing your following and your support base, which is really important.
I also tell everybody that my naysayers that say I started too early, I'm like, all right, look, I have 8,500 active registered voters. So voters that have voted in the last few election cycles. And I have now approximately 1 year to be interviewed by all of them. Cause this all to me is right. like a job thing, you know? And I thought about passing out resumes. Somebody talked me out of that, which isn't to say it might not still happen because I'm kind of stubborn. But yeah, that's how I look at it. I got 8,500 people that need to interview me in the next year, you know? So that's the plan.
Yeah, no, I mean, it really is, you know, the sooner you can start, the better. I mean, a lot of people will say, you know, you're probably not going to win your first time. So, you know, get be prepared to run two or three times. And it's like, okay, well, so what's the problem with starting really early? It's, you know, it's essentially that, but it's, you know, it is really important just to get as much time as you can, because there are so many people and it's, you have to talk to as many as you possibly can. That really is it. And especially, you know, not having the forums that, and the access that the, you know, the Crips and the Bloods are going to have,
stop calling them that. Oh my gosh.
They are though, aren't they?
Duopoly.
Yeah, it's we got to use everything we possibly can. So yeah, I really do appreciate that you started early. That's really great. And that you're committed to running, and hopefully running a second time, whether you make it or not.
You know, people, you know, first of all, no one lets me say if I don't win. Okay. I'm serious. The people that I'm surrounded with are the best humans that exist. So I'll say, you know, well, if I don't win, I could. And they're like, what are you talking about? What do you mean you don't win? But I am very realistic about that, you know?
Yeah.
And I have thought, God, this is so emotionally like, ooh, that I don't know how people do it so many times. Like if I'm looking at the end of the tunnel and there's a light there, the light that is, you know, I got to win and I get to do, you know, what my kids and my family sacrificed for, then it's worth it. But when I look at the end of the tunnel, it's still dark. To think about walking down a new tunnel, I'm like, I always tell everybody I'm never running again. And they're like, until you win. So seriously, bless everyone's heart that has done this more than once, because it's not easy and it's not always fun.
Yeah. Well, the way I look at it is, you know, win or lose, what we're doing is changing the political conversation and introducing people to new ideas. And, you know, it's whether you get into the seat or not becomes irrelevant, because at the end of the day, we're changing how people think about the role of government. And when that changes, they're going to put that pressure on whoever's in that seat. And if we get people to start showing up to city council meetings or you know, whatever, that all has real impact, whether we get in the seat or not. So that's not to say, you know, don't try hard enough, obviously. But, you know, it's absolutely, you know, I totally see that. We should be absolutely realistic. And I know some people are like, yeah, but we want somebody who's in it to win it and, you know, all this other stuff. And it's like, yeah, that's great and all, but those sometimes people are just absolutely delusional about what it takes to make this happen in a race where we are an underfunded, underknown party. You know, it's not like, yeah, I could register as a Republican or a Democrat and I might have much better chances if I played along and said, I love your policy and everything else. I could go in there. I'd have access to all their resources. I might get a $1 billion campaign going and maybe I could do something. Maybe. But we don't have that. And we have to be realistic about that. And we have to spend every dollar we get more efficiently because of that. We have to be smarter. We have to try to reach more people. But we also have to understand that libertarians aren't going to get elected until people start to think like libertarians. Like, they're not going to be like, well, I hate Democrats and I hate Republicans. I don't know what a libertarian is, but I'm going to vote for them. They're not going to do that. They usually go for the lesser of two evils things. But when they hear what a libertarian has to say and they start thinking like them, then they're like, oh, okay, yeah, I could support that. And that's more impactful anyway, because you have, you know, there were a certain number of voters who basically said, I don't like Democrats or Republicans, so I'm voting for anyone else in the 2016 presidential election. And we got a lot of libertarian votes.
But they were still voting for a name that they recognized.
Maybe, but they're, where are they going to be in 2020 if that was the only reason they were voting? They're going to go somewhere else. They're going to be like, oh, well, the Democrats not that bad this time, so I'll just vote for them. It's because we didn't change fundamentally what they're thinking about how they're voting. Like, that's our main goal. You know, we have to get people to understand that, you know, it's our job as the people to protect the Constitution from these crazy people who want to go work for government. Present company excluded, of course.
Yeah, never know.
That includes myself.
think that's, we need to start, we need to start a dialogue. And, you know, I'm not going to pick on you, but at our level, currently I sit as the secretary of the County Libertarian Party because I'm female. I'm just kidding. That's not why. But I'm currently the secretary, and our whole spiel since me and my mentor got into the position we're in, the chair, has been to create relationships between our community. Because, you know, it's the R's here. The Democrats don't pay a lot of attention to us here in Clarksville. The Republicans like to tell everybody how crazy we are. So we had to kind of get that, wash off that label of we're the crazies, and kind of be like, hey, look, we're trying to do the same thing you're trying to do. We want to help the community out. We want individual liberties, smaller government, you know. And it's funny, our GOP here, their mission statement reads a lot like a libertarian one. And I'm like, you know, so we went about cleaning up that reputation. And I'm actually giving a speech. I just wrote it last night on Saturday. And the big point of my speech is we need to show the big fish we are peers. You know, we're here. We're not going anywhere. We're here to stay. You're not just going to bully us as the weird kid in the corner, you know. And but I'm lucky because I work with, you know, a very popular county commissioner who is outspokenly libertarian and votes for, you know, no taxes. They call him the no guy. You know, he's single-handedly trying to hold back the county. And we're like, no, actually, he's just trying to defend the people. And the people love him for it. So it's a tough job, but, you know, we have to open the dialogue and get people to understand that his favorite thing to say is, you know, you're probably more libertarian than you think. And as soon as you get to a point where you can tell someone the philosophy or the fundamental ideologies or tenets, they're in, you know, what is it? 48% of Americans consider themselves independent anyway, right?
Right. Yeah, no, it really is like that. A lot of people are, and I think it's, I know, like, it feels like there are lots and lots of Democrats and lots of Republicans, but we also have to realize that they're really just loud. I mean, you know, when you see all this, like, I see all this stuff, like, with the social justice warriors and, like, the Trumpsters and, like, all this other stuff. And, like, they're always all over the news and they're always in big crowds. And it's like, they're really not that many of them. They're just really
good at
loud.
Branding, like you said, and good at branding and good at media. Yeah, no, totally. And I go to all the different party functions, all three. You know, I go to GOP stuff. I go to the Democratic stuff. I go to their open houses and stuff like that. And I know the difference between our turnout and their turnout, you know, like I get it. And it's not unattainable, you know, and I think that's the thing that everyone gets so discouraged by is, you know, that it's just unattainable to make it up to that level. And I really don't think that it is. And both sides of the spectrum are already going, oh, we got to get the vote of the middle people, you know? And I'm like, if they're getting the vote of the middle people, we definitely better be getting the vote of the middle people, which isn't to say that, you know, we are the middle people, but libertarians hate so bad to be like either of the duopoly, but the honest to God's truth is what they do works. And we don't need to be who they are. We don't need to have, I mean, we are the party of principle, period. I don't care if they start using the word principle, and they have. We are the party of principle. So if we're taking, so they're really good at branding. If we take that and we make our branding, it doesn't change what's in our principles. You know what I mean? So I actually don't have a problem doing things the way they do it, but correctly. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, I mean, it totally does. Like, you know, we have to realize that, I mean, there's so many different things. For one, like, how many, like, they've been around for over a century, right? Both of them.
Well, and they were the same party. That's my favorite part. You're talking about the same party.
but we've had this, I mean, if you think about it, it's like Pepsi and Coke, right? Like, if you ask anybody, just go up to a random stranger, what's your favorite soda? Most of them are going to tell you Pepsi or Coke. That's just the way it is, because they've been around branding since the very beginning. Now, we're the Libertarian Party. We're, you know, Democrats and Republicans are Pepsi and Coke. And we're like, hey, try something new. Everyone's going to be like, yeah, but I already drink Coke. And like, it's not available at every store that I go to. So why am I going to start switching to that? And we have to realize that we're starting like a new company, entering into a field where these other companies have been established for hundreds of years, over 100 years. And they've been building these billion-dollar brands. They've been throwing billions of dollars. They're to the point where, like, oh, I drink Pepsi because my grandmother drank Pepsi, and we're a Pepsi family, and we've always, like, that's what it is with Democrats and Republicans.
This is perfect, actually. This is a perfect analogy. I love it.
Yeah, and it's like, so we're the new company in town. We have, like, the new root beer or Red Bull. Red Bull was able to do this, right? Red Bull came in, and instead of saying, we're going to create another Pepsi or another Coke, like RC Cola, right, who never got anywhere, they said, we're going to do something completely different, and they came up with energy drink, and now Red Bull is number one energy drink in the entire market. And they created...
like, even over Monster, is it still bigger than Monster? Because Monster really nailed that branding thing, especially because every corny thing Monster puts their symbol on, man.
Right. So and yeah, that could be. And so now you have two competitors in a completely different industry that's like not even like they created their own industry.
Yep.
And that's one strategy we could try, but it's like, you know, is anyone ever going to really come in and take down Coke and Pepsi? I mean, maybe if they were dropping bombs on people on the other side of the world and robbing everybody, and, you know, maybe that would change people's opinions, but you know, and this is what we're up against. So, you know, when we throw a party and only five people show up, like it's really not, we shouldn't look at that and be disappointed and then say, we're never going to make it. We have to figure out what is going to be our strategy to take down these giant multi-billion dollar organizations with our, you know, mom and pop soda shop that we're just building in our garage right now.
Not to mention, and everyone wants to be left alone.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's probably one of our biggest challenges is how to get over ourselves. You know, we call ourselves a party of volunteering, and it's like every time I try to put out something, then I speak only for my local party. Every time I put out something, I'm like, hey, these people need two volunteers. Who wants to go?
Crickets.
You know, yeah. Are we not the party of volunteerism? Like, come on, y'all, get up and go.
Yeah, no, it is. And it's, and what's interesting about that too, is we are people who a lot of us are, we adamantly want to be away from people, which is part of what motivates us for this whole thing. We don't want government coming to our door. We don't want police coming to our windows to tell us we're going too fast on it. We don't want these interactions with other people. But at the same time, you have to, because that's the only way you're going to incite this change to actually happen.
Yep.
So it's kind of a weird paradox we live in.
Yeah, there's a second billion-dollar question for you. And I think if we find the answer to how do you do that, there's the answer in general, right?
Right. How do you get antisocial libertarians to volunteer and talk to people? There we go.
I'm kind of the unicorn in that, because I do like to be left alone, but I'm also super extroverted. So what I do is I go out and I people, we call it politrishing. That's what we call it. It's corny. I love it. I go out and politrish for like a week or so, and then nobody hears from me for another week. Cause I have to like decompress from all of that peopling, you know?
Right. Yeah, no, I totally get it. I'm like that myself, but it's, you know, at some point when you've just had enough, you just force yourself to get out there and do it.
Yep.
So, all right. Well, so I've got your website on the screen here, trishabutler.com. What's the most important thing? Of course, you just said you're looking for volunteers. Volunteers, donations, I'm sure.
I need money. Okay. Like, I hate asking for it. And that's what I need. I need money. Don't we all?
So can we go to trishabutler.com and donate?
My donate link is on there. It's PayPal. So
awesome. Okay, cool. Well, it's been great talking with you. If anything else you want to squeeze in or plug at the last minute before we go?
Oh my gosh, you put me on the spot. I hope not. I appreciate you having me and being so patient.
Always be prepared. Always be prepared with this one. Plug your websites and everything else.
You just did that for me, though.
Yeah, but I don't know. You gotta. Are you on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube?
I am. Oh. Facebook, Twitter. Instagram, YouTube, Twitter. Twitter is my favorite. I'm kind of honest on Twitter. And everything is under.
But everything I say on Facebook is a lie.
No. I hold my tongue. I never lie. I am not a liar. I'm really bad at it. However, I do bite my tongue a lot more on Facebook. Whereas on Twitter, I don't know why I feel safe on Twitter. That's a lie. I do feel safe on Twitter somehow.
Oh yeah,
Facebook. So I'm always like, I think because
savage.
I think mostly because like it's community. My Facebook page, my community is involved in the Facebook, and I don't really hear anyone ever talking about Twitter, so I feel safe there. But all of that, all of my social media is under Trisha Butler TN, all one word.
Awesome, sounds good. Well, thank you again for joining me tonight, and you have a great night, and taxation is theft.
Thank you.
See you soon.
Taxation is theft.
Please, at least leave us alone in our living room.
My job is to find the truth.
Double the taxes.
I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value.
Triple the taxes.
This is an IRS agent's dream.
If you think that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself.
Beautiful, lovely.
Sorry, but I don't do taxes.
Did you see the memo about this?
The government is a greedy piglet.
Just leave us alone.
Do you know what Ralph just said?
The roads.
You boys like Mexico?